This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, Allah.
Dr. Chandia, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you. Welcome to Heart and Soul.
Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to your listeners as well.
Wa alaikum salam. Our listeners come from many walks of life and different faiths and cultures. So let's begin by looking at the practicalities facing the millions of parents, working adults, students and people from all walks of life during this beautiful and definitely physically challenging month.
Well, peace and blessings upon your listeners, irrespective of whichever background they come from. The month of Ramadan, of course, is a very special month in the Muslim calendar across the globe. It unites the Muslim world in a particular devotional activity which goes back many, many years. In fact, it predates the advent of Islam in the 7th century. The concept of fasting is very much understood within Islam as not necessarily something that Islam has a monopoly on. Rather, it very much is accepted as a concept that is within other faith traditions and past communities as well. Of course, over time and across space, the challenges of a fast, the understanding of what a fast involves and is, has changed, and the challenges can differ. So, for example, if a country across the globe is situated along the equatorial line, the challenges will differ to a country that is much norther or much in the southern hemisphere. The month of Ramadan, if we may begin with that particular point, is subject to a lunar calendar. In fact, all the months of the Islamic calendar are subject to the sighting of the moon. This, in fact, is a much fairer system because this entails that the Islamic year, given that it is subject to the sighting of the moon, will fall back 10 days every year. So over a cycle of 36 odd years, the beginning point will come back to its position as it was before. So for example, in the United Kingdom at the moment, the fasting month will fall in the first 3 weeks of June and the first week of July. And as we move forward in our years, it will fall back into the months of April and May. So over a period of time, we will reach back to June. Now, this is a more fairer system, as globally, the month of Ramadan changes days, and the length of the fast is impacted because, of course, the length of the fast is subject to particular times, daybreak to sunset. So the length of a day is subject to either being the month of Ramadan being within the winter months or the summer months. Of course, in the United Kingdom, the time of the fast during a summer month is much longer in contrast to the winter month.
Sheikh, I wonder if we... forgive me. I wonder if we could actually go through that in a practical breakdown of a day, say, for a London Muslim right now. So you wake up,
yes,
you go to sleep at what time? How does that work?
Yes. For example, in the summer months, the sleeping pattern is one thing that is disturbed. For a Londoner, for example, or any city or any town dweller who may have to attend work in the morning or a young adult who may have to attend college in the morning, the morning will entail the devotee or the believer waking up early morning, pre-dawn, for a meal. And this meal will help and assist him through the day because the day will entail going without food or drink. So he will have to, or she will have to, wake up early morning to have the meal. And after the morning prayer, may well rest again until he or she has to go to college or has to go to work.
Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. Let's take a moment to reflect on the excellent wisdom you've kindly shared there.
رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Our Master, our Lord, gift us, grant us. You know, in Quran we find آتِنَا, give us. أَعْطِنَا, to give a grand gift. Gift us an unexpected gift, a beautiful gift. هَبْ لَنَا, this is a gift you're asking Allah to give you. And lana is muqaddam, this prepositional phrase is brought earlier, especially for us. We're asking for a special favor to Allah. And what is this favor that we're asking God? Allah Azza wa Jalla, grant us from our spouses, and not just our children, which is awlad, dhurriyatina. You know, wa dhurriyatina, future generations of us. In other words, you're not even asking for your immediate children, but your lineage, for generations to come. Grant us from all of them coolness of eyes. Make our eyes cool by means of our spouses and by means of our children. All of us have to appreciate the power of this dua because of the crisis of the world today. The world's fundamental institution of family is under attack. Most of the people here, even Muslims, are not immune from this problem. In many of our homes, the storm that I said, when you find coolness of the eyes, you find refuge from the storm is not outside the house, the storm is inside the house. And you have to get away from home to get away from the yelling and the screaming and the name calling and the insults and the depression and the sadness and the friction between husband and wife and parent and children. Our homes are broken. Brother is not talking to brother. Parents are not talking to children. This is a crisis inside the home. And what better dua to ask? The exact opposite. You know, the family has become a place of sorrow, of depression, of sadness, of anger, of rage. People feel like they want to escape it. And here Allah tells us to ask so perfectly, so eloquently, that the home should become the place of refuge. It's like the outside world is a storm. And you suffer on the outside, and your refuge, your safe haven, is those doors in your home, is your spouse, is your children. When you see them, your worries disappear. But for most of us, when you see them, your worries begin. And so we ask Allah, give us from our spouses and our children coolness of eyes. That's what we ask Allah. When somebody said, I want to get married, go further. Not just get married, I want to get married to a spouse that will cool my eyes. That I'll be the coolness of their eyes and they'll be the coolness of mine. And Allah Azza wa Jalla took the dua further. And then we understand why talk about future generations. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And make us leaders over those who are cautious, conscious, fearful, pious, righteous. Those who are fearful before Allah. And you know what that makes you realize? It makes you realize your relationships right now aren't just about you. You're setting a precedent in your family for generations to come. So when you are not acting as good husbands and good wives and good parents and good children, what are your future generations going to be doing? And who's going to be answerable for that negative trend that was started by you? Who's going to be answerable for that? So it's an intelligent dua that we should find coolness of the eyes, not only in our immediate family, but the future generations should be people that are righteous too. Because when we're raised on Judgment Day, we are imam over the entire family, whether they were messed up or not. We better ask for the kinds of people, if they're underneath us, not those who are dragging us down on Judgment Day, but those who are elevating us. And we beg Allah that He give all of us those kinds of families. So I beg all of you sincerely that we all make this sincere dua to Allah. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. I sincerely pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives all of us and makes from our spouses and our children those that are the coolness of our eyes, and that He makes us not a leader over those that are pious and righteous. May Allah forgive all of our shortcomings, accept all of our dua, and make the means of our forgiveness easy upon us.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul with me, Lauren Booth, where I'm joined today by Sheikh Chandir.
The issue we have to understand and comprehend is what drives an individual to endure such an exercise and see it not as a burden, rather as a good thing that one does for the not only the physical cleansing of the body and digestive system, but of course fasting has not only a temporal benefit, an eternal benefit. And it's the only thing driving this individual, irrespective of age, is the pleasure of the Creator, because fasting is seen as a form of worship. It is seen as a form of worship that is concealed from others. People are unaware that an individual is fasting. So in a practical sense, one could be at school or college or university or at work, and the only person who will know that one is fasting is the individual, him or herself. Now, as you have suggested, there will be a very early morning breakfast, and in the summer days, the likelihood is that after the special prayers at night called the Taraweeh prayers, where we listen to the Quran, the individual will have a meal, pray the morning, perform the morning prayer, then go sleep for a few hours, then go to work. Now, of course, a lack of rest may well impact, the energy levels may well be depleting, but an afternoon break or a siesta can work wonders, and the day carries on. And normally people, once they have finished from school or work or college, will come home and rest. Rest in the evening so that they are fresh again for preparing for the breaking of their fast, attending to the other forms of devotional activities, and attending the masjid for listening to the Quran in the evening, and the cycle repeats itself. So this is a very willing exercise that Muslims go through. And in 21st century, the concept of the fast is very much the same as it was in the prophetic times, peace and blessings be upon him. So it can be challenging. For example, it can be challenging for the person who is ill. Dehydration may set in, but if there's an illness, for example, diabetes, a lady is pregnant, or any other issue which may allow one to be exempted from fast. So there are dispensations that do kick in. But despite the working day, the concept behind the fast is to enlighten your spirituality. And this is the main focus of the fasting person. But beyond that, the fasting exercise provides a very good spiritual lesson on the idea of our existence on the face of this globe. And for, of course, the Muslim community, given that they are fasting, and this is a form of worship that is concealed from others, that the driving force behind this is they are accepting that their presence on the face of this earth, albeit temporary, is to express their servitude to their Creator. So the belief of the existence of a Creator is very much consolidated. The spirituality bond with other human beings across the globe who, and we must remember this, at the very same time are fasting for the very same reason. So it's a global phenomenon that we have millions of people fasting across the globe, subject to their times of daybreak and sunset. And they're fasting for the same reason, to please their Creator, consolidating their belief that the purpose of existence on this temporal world is to express their servitude to their Creator. And this may sound like a top-up of spirituality or a spirituality booster package. But for human beings, during the month of Ramadan, the lessons are quite similar to those that were there in the prophetic time. Life does not stop. Mm-hmm. So in the UK, this coming Ramadan, students will be sitting exams, GCSE exams, A-level exams, college students will be sitting their exams, university students may well be sitting their exams. Life goes on. The working pattern is not disrupted because employers will need their employees to attend. However, there may well be dispensations around for break times, etc. So life goes on is a critical message for the Muslim devotee.
Barakallah feek.
But despite life going on, the lesson being provided here that one is providing a fulfillment to the claim that the all superior being has upon this creation. So the human being, by expressing this fast, and it may well endure thirst, may well be an enduring test for hunger, but that is a sacrifice that this human being makes, and for not only for a temporal reward of a physical cleansing of the digestion system and the organs and medicinal benefits, but also for eternal benefit. And this is very much entrenched within the primary sources of Islamic learning.
Barakallah feek, Sheikh. Let's take a moment to reflect on the excellent wisdom you've kindly shared there.
Give a little love yourself, cure your greed, purify your wealth, look around at where you live, look at all the good you have to give. Give a little love yourself, there's a hand somewhere to hold, a mouth to feed. There's so much that we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves. Know Allah sees each and every hidden deed. Give a little of yourself, cure your greed, purify your wealth. Look around at where you live, look at all the good you have to give. Give a little of yourself. Take a look at all the people everywhere who give with open hands and hearts that do what's fair. Can you see the blessings fall on believers one and all who take the time to give and know it's right to care? Give a little of yourself, cure your greed, purify your wealth. Look around at where you live, look at all the good you have to give. Give a little of yourself, give a little of yourself. Cure your greed, purify your wealth. Look around at where you live, look at all the good you have to give. Give a little of yourself.
You're listening to Heart and Soul here on Qatar Foundation Radio, where I'm joined by the esteemed scholar and lecturer, Dr. Mahmoud Chandia from the United Kingdom. And we're talking today about the practicalities for the 1.5 billion Muslims right now going through their fasting this month. Sheikh, Ramadan sounds like a spirituality booster package. Is that how we as Muslims use it? Does it have a long-term effect? How can you fast and change your habits for 30 days? Do we go straight back to them on 31? And what impact is it supposed to have on us?
Well, the idea of value added is a concept that would be familiar to many individuals, particularly in the private sector, that if there is a policy or a form of action, then what is the value added of this policy or form of action? Islam is very clear on this, that the idea of fasting provides value added not just for 1 month, but it's actually a training course for the whole year. And of course, there are voluntary fasts which one can undertake throughout the year. So the value added concept here is to develop a profound consciousness of the Creator, a concept that is referred to as taqwa. This is an awesome awareness of the Creator, so that when an individual undertakes any duty, any mundane duty or any major duty, it is done with an awareness. him or her during and imparting that particular duty. So, for example, if I'm interacting with my neighbor, if I'm interacting with my employee, if I'm interacting with my customer, the training of Ramadan provides me that my form of and mode of engagement and interaction is accountable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most majestic, the all pure. So the concept behind the fasting of Ramadan is not necessarily just a physical deprivation of food and drink and other forms of deprivation or actions that one cannot do whilst fasting. There is a much higher spiritual aim, and all Islamic teachings are very much intertwined with higher spiritual lessons. And one of the main ideas behind fasting is that an individual has a one-to-one engagement with their Creator. And that will develop a conscious state of vigilance, awesome awareness, consciousness. And this consciousness provides a very consolidated lesson that is repeated every year. So that individual is aware, I am accountable for my actions, albeit I have been granted freedom. And this pathway of progress to spirituality, one of the strands of that pathway is the fasting month, which you described earlier on as a spirituality booster package. Mm. It can be seen as a booster package, and for many it is, because limiting one's food intake can aliven one's intellectual output, one's engagement with other people. We're not slowing down. Our dietary system is much less at work, and we are much more physically able to do things. My personal experience is that I feel very fresh, I feel very alive and kicking, and I'm able to undertake more activities than normal. Albeit, I wouldn't say I overeat before the beginning of the fast. On the contrary, and I'm, of course, during the month of Ramadan, the Muslims will commit more time to reciting the Quran, reading the Quran, learning about the Quran, understanding the Quran, and listening to the Quran in nocturnal prayers, referred to as the Taraweeh. So there are a range of spiritual activities that the Muslim undergoes, and all of these activities function to consolidate that notion of the higher spiritual aim of developing a critical, conscious awareness of accountability.
Yes, sir.
In front of the Creator. So that very much helps this Muslim understand. It drives him. This is a lesson for throughout the year. And 1 month of the year, the Muslim community fasting, as you rightly alluded earlier on, 1.5 billion strong community, all fasting and all experiencing this particular lesson. I have friends who aren't of the Muslim heritage, are of other particular faiths, but also join in to fast during this month of Ramadan. Some undertake the whole of the fast. Some experience 1 or 2 days. Some may well experience a partial fast in order to experience what this feels like. Because another spiritual lesson, of course, is to experience the pangs of hunger and thirst that individuals across the globe, for whatever reason, do not have 2 meals a day. So those who are poor, who are deprived, or have to walk for miles just for some water or food, do not have that. This is a constant reminder of the blessings that many across the globe take for granted. And that is food on the table or on the mat at a particular time. And this is a lesson to be very thankful of the multitude of benefits and favours that our Creator provides.
Sincere thanks to you, Dr. Shandia, for your time and effort on guiding us towards a more meaningful relationship with our food and, God willing, with our fasting as well. Make sure to share your thoughts on this topic and your feelings about this episode. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh. You've been listening to Heart and Soul. Until tomorrow, Assalamu Alaikum.